Most of the studio audience is from Massachusetts today, Doug.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm just here to try to maintain my mental health.
Well,
my sanity.
Well, you are not an attorney.
No.
So
certainly.
You have a leg up on that already.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because there's a new study out, and it doesn't look good for lawyers. I mean, we all know this, right?
Yes, and we love lawyers.
There are used car salesmen, there are politicians,
yep.
And there are lawyers.
Uh-huh. Bottom of the barrel.
Certainly, at the bottom. And judges are simply lawyers that have floated to the top.
That's an interesting visual.
So lawyers, judges. Well, Doug, you showed me this study on lawyers. And I think it vindicates Cheryl and I. And what we've said to our kids for 30 years about their career aspirations. But what is the study?
Well, they're saying that lawyers have the lowest health and well-being amongst white-collar workers. They're the worst. They got it the worst.
Yeah.
They're not healthy. They're not well.
That's not surprising to me.
No.
I mean, what is a lawyer, right? A lawyer is one skilled in the circumvention of the law. That's what a lawyer is. Someone
Indeed.
Skilled in getting around the law.
Yeah.
And, you know, in what they do for a living, lawsuits.
Yeah.
Litigation.
Just horrible.
Litigation is a machine. It's a machine which you go into as a pig and come out as a sausage.
Yeah, I know. I experienced litigation not too long ago, and I was excoriated by the judge for suggesting that I would have rather had this settled at my church by my pastor. He said, well, I don't know that your pastor would understand the finer points of the law. At which point I had to bite my lip.
He just condemned himself and the law. Because if a child can't understand the law, that means that the law can be used as a weapon against the innocent. But you know what? We have the best system in the world.
The
by
best.
Which these lawyers who are miserable, by which they mean that we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. That's all they mean by that.
Yeah.
Because we have the highest violent crime rate. I mean, excluding all-out war zones.
Yeah.
Violent crime rates, sexual assault rates.
Yeah. Hey, and some weekends in Chicago, it's worse than Syria.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And so these lawyers who say we have the greatest system in the world, if that were true, don't you think it would be reflected in our crime rates?
I would think so.
I mean, it's a criminal justice system, the legal system.
Yeah.
If we have the best system, shouldn't we have the least crime? But we have the most lawyers, which almost by definition means that we have the most criminals.
But why are they so miserable and have such poor health and well-being, and they're generally miserable, at least according to this new study? And they abuse alcohol. Highest levels of alcohol abuse among the white-collar workers.
Wow.
So they, you know, it's
shouldn't
rough
it be gray collar workers if they're speaking about lawyers?
Gray collar.
Shouldn't it be?
It's you can't say anything's black.
So
or
we've
white.
Told our kids for decades now that if they were to go to law school, if they wanted to become an attorney, that we would disown them.
Yeah.
Cheryl and I.
It's been very effective deterrent so far.
We would disown them if they became an attorney, and it turns out when we started saying that 30 years ago almost, we didn't know we'd be vindicated by CBS reporting that lawyers are miserable and they're alcoholics.
And you didn't know that you were protecting the health of your children.
No.
Preserving their health and well-being.
And Doug, last time I was in court, the judge mentioned a precedent that he was using.
A precedent.
Yeah, and it turns out a precedent is a previous decision that has whatever force the judge may choose to give it, thereby greatly simplifying his task of doing whatever he pleases. That's a precedent.
I agree. So. And they like those a lot.
Yeah.
They like to cite those.
Yeah. So lawyers, you know, you need lawyers when the law is a weapon against the innocent. We have a video called The Trouble with Lawyers.
Yes. Excellent. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Timeless information, because lawyerdom is timeless.
And if people subscribe to our monthly videos, then once a month they get a video.
Yeah.
If they really love them, they could get two videos a month.
Yeah.
And they'll get, or you could go to our store and purchase or even download and watch The Trouble with Lawyers. It's a classic BEL TV show from the olden days.
Absolutely. And as far as the health and well-being study for lawyers, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys and gals.
Well,
you can't just say guys anymore.
What do you call 200 lawyers on the bottom of the sea?
A good start.
Okay, then what do you call? No. Yeah. So, Doug, speaking of lawyers, the government, Washington, D.C.
The government, which I call the proctocracy because it's run by lawyers, it's infested by lawyers. Proctor is another word for lawyer. It's an older English word. So I've adopted the government is the proctocracy. Yeah, the proctocracy. They run the place.
And so then a lawyer is a proctologist.
Well, similar but different.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So anyway,
proctologists want to make you healthy.
Right. So the lawyers at HHS.
Okay, that's Health and Human Services, right?
For any public school teachers tuning in.
Absolutely. The Department of Health and Human Services.
So the lawyers there say that of all the insurance companies that are that have Obamacare folks signed up.
Yeah.
A number of them are losing their shirts.
Imagine that.
And so the lawyers at HHS say that the government needs to bail out the Obamacare insurers that are failing.
Okay. That sounds like par for the course.
And they're saying it's an obligation of the federal government.
Okay.
Because, of course, Obamacare was going to bring about health care nirvana.
Right. Everyone was going to have free health care and better.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Right. And there are socialist countries around the world that have, you know, nationalized health care.
There are.
And but in America, we have had the best health care in the world. So if you have a country that has lousy health care and you switch over to government health care, it'd be like what vets receive here in America today.
Yeah.
Because the government runs their health care system.
They do.
So if you have a government with reasonably lousy health care and you switch over to socialized health care, well, it was lousy and now it's still lousy.
But the lines are a little longer.
Yeah, but if you have the best health care system in the world and you think, oh, we're going to do like Scotland has done, and we're going to switch over to a nationalized health care system, well, then there's going to be a lot of misery that is now identifiable that was not before, because you're going from the best system to a government socialist system.
Yeah, so people are going to notice. The difference is going to be a little more extreme.
Yeah, and so these Obamacare insurers. Doug, have you ever been part of a profit-sharing plan?
I have.
And I have, too.
Yeah.
Profit-sharing. It's sort of neat, right? You're working for a company. You work hard. The company does well. At Christmas time, you get a bit more in your check.
There's a big pool of money, and everybody gets to share it.
It's really neat.
It's awesome. It's a great idea, and it's a freedom.
Well, the federal government, they have their own idea of a profit-sharing plan.
Yeah.
And it was in the Obamacare law. Now, I didn't read the whole law. Did you read the whole law? How long was that law?
Well, they lost me after about page 2,256. It's 2,700 pages long.
2,700 pages. So who reads all that, right?
Nobody.
You're supposed to be able to know what the law is.
A lawyer reads it, and that's why he needs a drink.
I have a homeless friend who says that he can't have a job and he can't travel because he would need 27 lawyers to go with him everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Because you need that many lawyers for that many different fields of law to make sure you're not going to go to jail.
Well, there's some truth to
and
that.
And as you travel down the street, the laws all change as you go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So it's just driven him to just live on the street and just forget about it.
Yeah. So, you know, Alfred's crazy, but
another byproduct of the proctocracy.
But aside from that, it turns out that the government has their own idea of a profit-sharing plan, and this was in the original law.
All right.
Now, don't worry, the Republicans have amended it.
Oh, that's good. That's what they're there for.
But here's what the original law said.
Okay.
That the government could take money from insurance companies that are doing well with Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
And give those profits to the companies that are not doing well. That's the government's form of profit sharing.
I'm not sure that passes the profit
sharing. That was in Obamacare. Now, what page exactly it was on, I forget.
Well, yeah, and the lawyer who knew, he had a blackout at that point.
So it's, that's just pure socialism, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, redistribution of the wealth. And you know, pass the misery, please.
Yeah.
Pass the misery. Equality of outcome. Mediocrity reigns supreme.
Yes, and don't forget that it's actually stealing and it violates thou shalt not steal. From that's the old King James.
Where did that come from, thou shalt not steal?
That's from the Bible. It's from the book of Exodus.
So you're saying it's relevant today?
It's absolutely relevant.
Yeah, but the tenth Amendment says something. Yeah, why would it be relevant, thou shalt not steal? Why is that relevant? I don't understand why that'd be relevant. I mean, we're not a theocracy. Just because the Bible might say thou shalt not murder, why is that relevant? We're not a theocracy.
Well, you don't have to be a theocracy to understand that there are timeless truths.
Just because the Bible says that you should obey the governing officials as much as you are able without committing a crime yourself.
That's what it says.
Or sinning. And just because it says do not bear false witness against your neighbor, I mean, why would any of those apply?
Well, ask any liberal after he's been robbed.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you why. It's relevant.
So it turns out
right then,
God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal, is as relevant today as when Moses brought it down from Mount Sinai.
Indeed.
Yeah. And it was relevant before Moses brought it down.
Well, actually, yes.
Right, because God has written his law on our hearts. We know. Do not murder, do not steal, don't bear false witness.
Right.
We know all these things.
That's our innate conscience that God put in us.
Right. So socialism is wrong, even though the Dems are perfectly happy. Right. They're happy. Even Hillary supporters.
Those Democrats writing laws like this. But you said the Republicans had fixed it.
Oh, yeah. The Republicans came to the rescue.
Okay.
They have amended this law so that now it states that the government can take profits from companies, insurance companies,
yeah,
to give them to other companies that are not doing so well.
Okay.
That's what it says.
That sounds like the same thing. But well, I'm not a lawyer.
It is the same thing. The only thing the Republicans changed was they said the government can't add more money to that pool of funds.
I see.
They could only steal the money from some insurance companies to give it to other insurance companies.
They can't
steal other monies for that particular crime.
Right, so they can't steal money from future generations to add.
That particular crime.
Right.
For 10,000 others, they can.
That's right.
But for this particular crime, the Republicans came to the rescue.
Okay.
And they modified this to say that the government could only take money from successful insurance companies to give it to those that are not.
Okay. That's just, I may lose my sanity just going through this story, Bob.
So
I feel I'm
the
slipping.
Republicans, you know, and we, you know, I've always had a hard time pronouncing that word.
Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like Democrat. But the Republicans are Republicans because Jesus blasted the publicans.
Yeah. Who were mostly lawyers.
Lawyers, scribes.
Yeah.
Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who will bind a heavy burden on your back and not help alleviate with a single finger. They won't help alleviate the burden.
Yeah, that sounds like a lawyer.
Yeah, that sounds like your own lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Forget about the other guy's lawyer. How do you survive your own lawyer?
I know. I had to go to an attorney, and she, the first thing she said was, can you take out a second mortgage on your house? And I said, I don't think I want to work with you. I don't think. Can I leave,
and this
please?
This was like a minor case.
This was my lawyer. She was on my side.
Right.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah. I have a friend who, in his church, they had a guy whose wife had been going to church. They had kids. She left him sleeping around, getting drunk, partying.
Sad.
Just a disaster. Yeah. And this guy is worried about his kids' well-being because this woman's having boyfriends sleep over. They have young kids.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. So the pastor says, well, so-and-so in our church, he's an attorney. He's a Christian attorney. Go to him. He's great. He'll help you.
Oh, I'm sure that worked out wonderfully.
So he went. He made an appointment for Monday morning. He goes in Monday morning. And who's coming out as he goes in but his estranged wife? And the attorney says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Your wife has retained me. So that's a Christian attorney. I mean, that is a Christian attorney.
unfortunately.
People, you talk about Christian attorneys, it's like having a Christian a brothel owner.
Yeah. Christian meth lab.
The law is criminal. Now, there could be a Christian attorney.
There probably are.
Extremely difficult.
There's an exception to prove every rule.
It's extremely difficult because, you know, Jesus blasted the attorneys of his day.
Yeah.
But there could be a Christian attorney, just like there could be a Christian public school teacher.
Now, Colorado's state attorney general, she claims to be a Christian.
She's, she's married to, what's his name?
A lawyer.
And pro-life, sort of, except for killing some kids.
Well, except for investigating Planned Parenthood and the whole baby parts
scandal.
Oh,
that's too controversial.
She claims to be a CF.
Right.
Lawyerdom can cloud your Christianity.
Well, you know,
you can't see
If it's legal to kill babies, it certainly can't be wrong to sell their parts.
Well, you have to do it according to the rules, apparently.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even willing to look into whether or not they were breaking the rules for chopping up babies and selling them.
Right.
Which we have rules for, which that's a whole show in and of itself.
Kaufman's wife.
I can't remember what her name is, the Attorney General of Colorado, but maybe someone in the audience.
Our crack news staff. You mean our visitors from Massachusetts?
See, I don't pay that much attention to these people individually because they disgust me, and I lose interest quickly because, you know, I have to eat. I don't want to have a bad... It sours my stomach to consider.
It does.
Who is the Attorney General of Colorado?
Cynthia Kaufman.
That's it. Cynthia Kaufman.
You know, her husband is in Washington.
He is a congressman.
In Congress.
Yeah.
And he, you know, in his primary, in his early campaign.
Oh, I remember.
Years. Uh-huh. He's pro-life.
Oh, absolutely.
He needs the support of the pro-lifers to get somewhere in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So he's now a congressman from Colorado. And does absolutely nothing to protect an unborn child.
No.
And that would be like somebody who says that they know right from wrong in Germany, and they finally get power and influence and a paycheck, and they say nothing against the killing of Jews.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's very similar. That's a good analogy.
History will condemn the Kaufmans.
Absolutely.
Now,
how do we get off on that? Is she a lawyer? She probably.
Obviously.
She may be what do they call it? A juris doctorate. They doctor the jurisprudence.
Oh.
Doctor the whole thing. Anyway.
So, but the justice system, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just the system.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's because of people like this.
Now, there is hope in Argentina.
Huh?
There's hope. Argentina has a new president.
Yeah.
Who actually said that Argentina should reduce the government's role in the economy.
Wow.
Argentina.
I mean, that's like a bright light.
Yeah.
Come, you know, that's again, we have vindication of what we've been saying for years on this show.
Absolutely.
That even a broken continent is right twice a day. twice a day.
We need to let the public school graduates know that Argentina is part of the South American continent. No. Just so you know, if you matriculate into government schools, they may be confused. They might think it's in Alabama.
See, now...
It's a different country.
Doug, I know it's nuanced, but I always say the public school teachers.
Oh, the public school teachers.
Because some people some actual friends of mine graduated from public school.
Yes, I graduated from public school. Barely.
You did?
Yep, barely.
Oh.
Barely graduated.
I did too.
Yep.
I did too.
And we have somehow overcome.
So I, when I point out the ignorance,
yeah.
It, aside from saying things like your public school is showing,
yeah,
right, I try to put the burden on the teachers because it's their fault that the whole system is a catastrophe.
And that's a good point, that they're still actively participating in it while most of the people we know are trying to shed the influence that the public schools, the government schools had on them.
So the goal is to get kids out of the government schools.
Amen.
Not to make the government schools better.
Absolutely.
And so a Christian could be a teacher, just like a Christian could be an attorney.
Yeah.
But the law is criminal. And as an attorney, you're an officer of the court, so you're supposed to uphold the law.
This is true.
But when the law says you can murder and you could steal and you could commit adultery and bearing false witness, perjury is hardly noticed ever.
Yeah.
Then that means to be an attorney who follows the law, by definition, you're a criminal.
And that's unfortunate, especially if you're a Christian.
So that's why they're all alcoholics.
Well, They're just trying to soothe their conscience.
And that's why Cheryl and I have been vindicated for telling our kids we would disown them if they ever became an attorney.
Yes. Good. Good move.
And that judges are just like the bigger ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. It's a disaster.
All right. So we've already proven that the further and further you get from God, the less and less sane you are.
Yeah.
It's a you can become mentally ill. But, Bob, there's some researchers in Italy.
Yeah.
They've published a study implying that now homophobia is a potentially severe psychopathology. So they're calling people
who... So it's mental illness.
They're saying that if you won't go to a gay wedding, you're possibly mentally ill.
It's just a social disease.
Yes.
And you know what? Like so many diseases, Doug,
yeah,
it's not my fault. I was born this
That's
way.
That's right. That's right. And it's time for you to come out and tell people.
Yeah, I did come out of the closet.
I
told my family and friends that I'm homophobic.
I remember.
And you know what? They accepted me. They didn't put me down. And I told them, it's like homo nausea. It just makes me sick. Yeah. Almost make me sick. Anyway, they accepted me, and I'm so happy. But, Doug, the Liberal National Review, have you heard of them?
I'm familiar with the National Review, founded by William F. Buckley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like I said. And the Liberal National Review, they actually said something intelligent regarding homosexual marriage.
Really?
Yeah, they said this, and we've quoted this on our We Just Want to Be Left Alone.
Oh, the growing page. It grows almost weekly.
Yeah. The homosexuals, they said, we just want to be left alone.
I remember when they said that.
Oh, yeah, and you better bake us a cake.
And take the pictures at my wedding.
Right, and you better keep your mouth shut about it, and we want a pizza pie and cookies.
And we want to march down the middle of the street.
Send us flowers, give me a haircut. I mean, all these are lawsuits.
Yes.
Right? And forget your heterosexual student clubs. They're banned.
Can't have that.
And your dating services.
Hello.
If they don't include homosexual pairings,
yes,
with a pile of homos,
uh-huh,
then they're closed down too.
You're gonna shut them down.
Oh yeah, and you're gonna print us some t-shirts, and you're gonna host our wedding. Each of these are lawsuits.
Even if it's at your church, you're gonna host
even
our wedding.
Even on your church property. And oh, and we just want to be left alone.
That's how they started with that.
And we want a parade.
Oh, absolutely.
That's another lawsuit. And you're gonna provide security. And you better retranslate that Bible of yours if you want to keep selling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, the National Review, noticing some of that?
Yeah.
They wrote this. They said, the day before yesterday, a homosexual marriage was a legal impossibility. And today, it is a crime to sit one out. That's how fast and furious it all is.
Well,
so
people may not remember, especially the younger folks in the audience, the millennials,
yeah,
that the American Psychiatric Association, as recently as the 1970s, listed homosexuality and gender identity disorder as mental illnesses.
Wow.
In 2012, they removed gender identity, and in the 70s, they removed homosexuality.
Wow.
So that was, and that was true for about 5,000 years.
When they removed homosexuality as a mental illness,
yeah,
I don't know if you recall that, Doug. That's because the homosexuals stormed the meeting and they protested and they threw a hissy fit.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it was changed.
I believe it.
It wasn't changed by study or, you know,
science or anything.
However, it would have been changed, it would have been wrong.
But they stormed it in Stonewall style. They were ready to throw vodka bottles at people if they didn't change it.
And that cop that was killed in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Doug, the day before yesterday, it was illegal, and today it's a crime to sit one out.
Yeah.
The form of that, every year I've said to our kids since they were young, but now we don't. They're not young anymore.
Oh, no.
But at New Year's Eve, just as the ball is falling and it's about to hit bottom.
Yeah, Times Square there, yeah.
Yeah. Like this year, what I would say to them is the year before last was 2013, and the year after next is 2018.
Wow, that's a mind bender right there. You have to...
The year before last was 2013, the year after next is 2018, and you start saying that right before the ball hits the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So you start it in 1 year and you end the sentence in another year.
I see.
See the trick that our kids never figured out.
Well,
no,
see,
they
now
did.
My public school was showing because I'm trying to do the math in my head on that.
It's like, okay. It doesn't really work. But anyway, so it's a mental disease.
Yeah, it's now.
It's a social disease. Yeah. And that, you know what that means? That they can't pass a law against it.
Yeah, they can't blame us
for
it.
Because you can't pass a law against the disease.
We're just
this
ill.
Is maybe the best news on the culture war front yes. in 30 years.
Which again proves that the whole world is going insane.
Homophobia is a mental disease.
And so now we'll be a protected class and we'll get special parking spaces. I like that.
Yeah.
I'll take it. That's probably the best we can hope for. Hey, I did you know that Brooke Shields has written her second autobiographical work? She's only like 50 and she's now written two autobiographies. She's like Barack Obama.
She's
just churning out the autobiographies.
She's an actress.
Now, but this is interesting. She says that her grandfather tried to get her mother to abort her.
Oh.
And her mother, listen to this. Her mother took the cash, but then didn't have an abortion and bought a Cherrywood oval coffee table instead.
Wow.
Now, that's a good woman. She couldn't kill the baby, but she took the money and bought a nice coffee
smart.
Table.
Very smart.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Brooke Shields says she in 1991 she was interviewed. She said she could never, ever have an abortion. Oh. I never heard that from
wow.
her. That's
hey,
great.
That reminds me of Jason Jones, Movie to Movement, recording the incredibly popular, you know, Hollywood celebrities and singers who are saying abortion is wrong.
Yes.
Such a huge number. Hey, Doug, real quick, we're almost out of time. Climate Depot has scans of old newspaper articles on global warming and global cooling.
Global warming again.
March 27th, 1941, global warming led people to accept dictators like Adolf Hitler.
1941?
That's the United Press. So here's a headline from 35 years later after that World War II date.
Yeah.
1976, July 21st, CIA warns global cooling to produce economic and political impact that is almost beyond comprehension.
Wait, so they got you
global
coming or going.
Cooling.
Cooling.
20 years before World War II was this headline, 1923. Winters are warmer. World's climate is changing.
1923.
This, 1933. Muslim leaders blame yo-yo for drought in Syria.
There wasn't even hip-hop back then. Who's yo-yo?
There was a drought, and January 23rd, 1933, you could see the article. It's scanned at Climate Depot. Muslim leaders, they said,
yeah.
met with the Syrian prime minister in Damascus to say the introduction of the yo-yo has brought heaven's wrath, and they immediately banned the yo-yo.
Brilliant.
And speaking of yo-yos, today, November 23rd, Prince Charles said climate change is the root cause of ISIS. So there's nothing new under the sun. Bernie Sanders, Al Gore, John Kerry.